All right, it's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. A little chilbies out there, but it's gorgeous out, and it's going to be a great day because something has to happen eventually, right? Welcome into Cabali and Mac, alongside veteran Steelers beat reporter and WWE writer Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack, just a guy who plays Morgan Wallen songs in the afternoon on Y108 Pittsburgh. And this, can you believe it, Kaboom, is episode 28.
Shaboozy.
And Shaboozy. Yeah, sorry. Can't forget the Shaboozy that I did play the other day. And when I played it, I did say for Mark and Jefferson Hills, just for you.
So you gave me a shout out.
I gave you a shout out. Were you listening or were you stuck talking to Penny Muller for an hour and a half?
Then followed by 2 hours of Hawk, followed by half hour of Bechtold, followed by an hour of Crowley and Doran. I can't keep my story straight anymore.
I was going to say, you ought to just take one of those empty offices and turn it into Kaboom's room. Just give you a little cot there, a little spot where you can plug in the laptop and get some work done.
Somehow I did hear you on Saturday on Y108.
I'm a busy man. I'm working hard, working all the time. I was working on the BetMGM network on Saturday afternoon as well. It was magical. I was pulling the old Rick Rude two places at the same time. I'm not going to tell you how I did it, but I did it. Remember when Rick Rude showed up on Nitro and Raw on the same night?
Yeah, I think wasn't it one of them taped?
One of them was taped.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thanks to the Dan Heck team, as always, for sponsoring Cabali and Mac. Presenting sponsors, go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. Looking to buy or sell a home and get settled in Western PA. They will take care of you. Also, I think we're going to call it Ticket Tuesday. How's that sound? You know how much I love alliteration. Dan Heck is giving away raffle tickets for this Whitehall Fire Company Ford F-150 raffle that they're doing. You could go to WhitehallFire301.com and buy a raffle ticket for $45. It raises money for the Whitehall Fire Company. You could do that. Yeah, very easily. Go there and buy a ticket. Or you could pay attention to our social media and maybe win a ticket, which, again, it's a $45 value. That's a nice little win. And then who knows? Maybe you're winning a brand new Ford F-150 STX from the Whitehall Fire Hall. But thanks to Dan Heck and the Dan Heck team for providing those free tickets, which we'll do every so often over the next few weeks to those that want to take part on social media. It's mock draft season, Kaboom. And I know how much you love mock draft season, which is none at all. I know how much the people love mock draft season, though. And I want to talk about a couple mock drafts here in just a second. Also, the Steelers signed another defensive back. I don't know how this dude fits in, but we can talk about Juan Thornhill a little bit later. And John Cena really wants everybody to hate him. I don't know if it's going to work or not. But damn, those European WWE crowds are into it. They're into everything. I mean, they will not stop. It's like a soccer crowd. They're going nuts. We'll talk about all that in today's Cabali and Mac. Don't forget, you have a chance to win an autographed Jerome Bettis jersey as well. I have it here in my possession, sitting on a shelf, just waiting for us to get to 1,000 subscribers. Mark, we get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we will take one of those people who has reposted and tagged three friends and subscribed to Cabali and Mac on YouTube, and we'll pick their name, and they'll get an autographed Jerome Bettis jersey.
Is this when I normally say, am I eligible?
And this is normally where I tell you, no, you are not.
I still think I should be eligible for the car, at least, a truck.
I mean, I guess if you bought a ticket, you'd be eligible, yeah. But we can't give you one of the free tickets. That's not fair.
Sure it is. No, somebody once told me, if you don't ask, you're never going to get it.
That is true. I've told you that. You got to ask sometimes. It doesn't mean you're always going to get a yes, though. We can't have, you know, visions of impropriety or whatever.
It would be
a scandal if all of a sudden you won the truck and everybody would be like, what the hell? How'd Cabali win it? I bet he didn't. And then it's a big thing.
I'm a very lucky man. No. That's why.
Well, I mean, you have some luck, yeah. But, I mean, I don't think we need to go about making it look like you're winning. That's just, no, it's not fair to the people. We want the people to win, Mark. We want the wonderful people who subscribe to the podcast and show up here and watch it nearly every day. We have done a show, by the way, now 7 straight days, I think it is,
while we
wait for Rogers' watch to end. We will not do one tomorrow unless something crazy happens. Well, my kid has a doctor's appointment, which now pretty much means that something crazy will happen.
You have to do it from the waiting room.
Yeah, basically. But here we are, Rogers watch day, what is it, 9? I think it's 9. Is it 9? I can't keep track. The tampering period started 8 days ago. So yeah, that makes this day 9. And despite the very confusing video that you tweeted out, that
that's funny.
This is great.
I don't know. See, I would give the person credit who did it, but I don't know if the person who did it stole it. So I just pretended like it was mine.
Hold on. It's a Photoshop of Aaron Rodgers' face, AI Photoshop, whatever, on Cat Williams.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm coming. They know I'm coming. I know they gonna be there, and they know I'm gonna do the best job I can possibly do.
Really funny. Why are you worried about people getting mad at you for that?
I don't care. Yoey instantly texted me and said, "Boy, people are gonna get mad at you for that." I said, "Dude, you know that's fake, right?" He goes, "Oh, I didn't know." He's even more computer illiterate than me. When we worked at the Daily News, he didn't know how to do any agate, convert it into the format that we use it for the paper. And I think he did it on purpose. So
probably. So he wouldn't have to do the agate page.
Hey, speaking of A-Rod, did you happen to see that he
are you going to keep calling him A-Rod, by the way? Like, even if he comes here?
I'll call him A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron. What did
he do? He exited his retreat home to do some kind of
He did a passing camp over the weekend or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, how about that? How did nobody know that? How did anybody show up and say, "Hey, Aaron"? But, you know, it could happen today. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen in April. This team's interested. This team might not be interested. My favorite now is Minnesota is still contemplating if they want him. How long of a decision does this have to be for the Vikings? How about sit down? "Hey, we want Aaron." Why not? Let's go. I mean, isn't it as simple as that? What do we need 4 days to figure this out for?
You would think, or maybe they're
making it up. That's what I think.
Well, you just call the shot. Go ahead, call everybody hot.
Everybody's making it up. I think they are
exaggerating,
putting more stock into what they're hearing from people that don't know.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, look, he might sit around all summer because he doesn't feel like going to training camp, and then somebody might decide, maybe even after a quarterback somewhere else gets hurt, to give A.A. Ron a call on like August 6th or something. Who knows? I've given up Rogers watch, like most Steeler fans have at this point. If he ends up coming here, great. If not, oh well.
I think that's what the Steelers view too right now. You know,
and I don't great by the way. When I say great, I say it kind of like nonplussed, like great. I don't say it like woohoo, yay, Aaron Rodgers. Like I'm not going to throw a parade if Aaron Rodgers decides to sign with the Steelers.
You know what I was thinking?
What
I was thinking? They signed Mason, right?
Yeah.
Everybody all of a sudden loves Mason now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mason came back here to get an opportunity, and it really looks like he's going to be the starter because Aaron Rodgers doesn't make a decision. And all of a sudden on draft day, he goes, "Hey, Omar, I'm coming." And all of a sudden, Mason's the number two again. There's yet another dart.
Oh, I've thought that out. Yeah. Like when I picture the August scenario, like, the reason I was thinking about it is because of the rookie quarterbacks out there. And I've told you before, I'm not a giant fan of any of them. I like Jackson Dart, but not with a first round pick, I don't think. But I could see him going into training camp with like Rudolph and I don't know, pick one of those second tier rookie quarterbacks, Tyler Shuck, that everybody keeps talking about, and Skylar Thompson. And then Aaron Rodgers gets bored the second week of August and calls up the Steelers and says, hey, still interested? And Omar goes, yeah, I guess. And then, yeah, to your point, like Rudolph gets shuffled right back down the depth chart.
It's sort of like Plex watch from like 15 years ago when Plexico going to show up. Oh, no, he's here. Oh, he's not coming back, though. Yeah, one of those things.
I mean, Steeler fans just can't be emotionally invested in Rodgers anymore. I don't know.
The craziest thing about it is nobody knows what anything's being said. I mean, right. Nothing's coming from Rodgers, so we're hating him just because his lack of what? He told him, hey, man, it's going to be some wild time here.
Yeah, I didn't say, like, I'm not one of those people who's going off. Like, I heard old Donnie Football, our guy on the Fan last week.
Donnie. He ain't Donnie Football right now.
No?
He's Donnie Chedwick now until football season comes.
Oh, sorry. But I heard him going off, and I've heard other people mention this too. Aaron Rodgers is holding the Steelers hostage. He's not. The Steelers at any point in time can tell Aaron Rodgers to go piss up a rope, sign Russell Wilson, and be done with it. He's not holding them hostage. They can decide to do what they want to do. I'm not at that point where I'm not mad at Rodgers. I'm not one of those people that's like banging the table. He has to make a decision. I don't give a rat's ass if he never makes a decision. Yeah, and sits at home.
You don't know if he's waiting for Minnesota. You don't know what he's doing. Another thing is, how much is he going to be here in OTAs?
Not at all.
Camp?
You know that.
I mean, even if he is here, he's not going to get any reps. So
that's what I mean. This thing could be the first week of August, Mark, and all of a sudden he'll decide what he wants to do.
But you would love to get him, acclimated. Here's the playbook. I understand that.
Sure, but he doesn't give a shit.
But he's not going to.
He doesn't care if he's acclimated or not, because he's going to make the building his as soon as he saunters in.
Yeah, I still think I don't know. I'm not. I would just purely be speculating, but I still eventually think he's going to be a Steeler. In what way you can screw Mason the worst is what's going to happen. That's my
Your new line of thinking, your new logic is wait Whatever until August.
The most is what's going to happen.
They'll even go so far as to play a preseason game, and Mason will have, two or three perfect drives and score touchdowns, 10 of 12, 150 yards. And then the next day, Aaron Rodgers comes walking into the South Side. Yeah, that would be exactly the way the Steelers have treated Mason Rudolph. And it would fall right in line. It would be perfect. Thanks as well. We mentioned the Dan Heck team for sponsoring Cabali and Mac. We got to thank our friends at Southwest Greens as well. It's getting nice out. Like I said, spring is here. Maybe you like to get out and golf. You'd like to have a little area in your backyard where you could practice the putting and real putting. They can do that. They can install a surface in your backyard, whether it's just a little tiny area around the play set for the kids. The pets can use it as well. The whole yard if you want to. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go there. Tell them Cabali and Mac sent you, and they can get you the best-looking yard in the neighborhood without all the maintenance hassles. You don't have to mow. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars watering the thing every single summer when it doesn't rain for 4 weeks. All that stuff, they'll take care of it. It'll be the most beautiful yard in the neighborhood, an artificial surface that looks and feels real with Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. All right, I mentioned mock draft season. I know you hate mock drafts, or at least you're not as big a fan of them as some people this time of year. Two mock drafts I wanted to talk about, okay? One is Mel Kiper's. That came out, I guess, last night, early this morning. He has three quarterbacks going in the first 9 picks.
He might not be off on that one. He still might not be off.
You really think, man. So he has Cam Ward going first overall to the Titans.
Okay.
Then he has Shador Sanders third overall to the Giants.
Okay.
And then he has Jackson Dart at number 9 to the Saints, quarterback in waiting behind Derek Carr, I guess. So that's one extreme. We'll get to the other extreme of quarterbacks and how it could affect the Steelers in just a second. What I found interesting is that in Kuiper's mock draft, he has the Steelers taking Derek Harmon, a defensive tackle from Oregon, while Walter Nolan, the kid from Ole Miss that everybody's talked about, that Mike Tomlin apparently took some interest in at the Senior Bowl, while he's still on the board, while Emeka Egbuka, Matthew Golden, and Luther Burden are all still on the board at wide receiver. So, at least in Kuiper's opinion, it makes sense that they go D-line here. Derek Harmon, a guy that could sort of, you know, fill that other spot next to Cam and eventually grow into Cam's role, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you look at what they did in the offseason, what they need. I mean, defensive line just jumps out at you, so it makes sense. I don't know if that's the route they would go. I mean, I don't know what type of grade they would have on him, but definitely it's an option to be able to do that. So I wouldn't consider that crazy, but I mean, a guy like the wide receiver from Texas who ran the 4.2.
Yeah.
If you're crazy if you think he's getting out of the top 10 to 12. I mean, he runs a 4.2, whatever. He's shooting up the board. I agree somewhat with the quarterbacks. I mean, who thought Bo Nix was going to go 12th? Who thought Michael Penix was going to go 6th? When they get on the clock, they get desperate. Saints are desperate for a wide receiver or a quarterback. I don't think Spencer Rattler is the answer. I don't, obviously, Derek Carr is not the answer. So I could see that happening. Somebody's going to fall in love with Jackson Dart. So I don't think that's out of the realm possible. That's why I don't think there's a shot in hell that Jackson Dart would be there at 21 for the Steelers, even if they did want him, and they don't have the capital to move up to get him. So that's why I would totally wipe that off the board. But
so that doesn't seem realistic to you at all?
I have to. Who's the other? Who was the other? Was Grant still available, or was he off the board? I know Nolan's a big, fast guy as well.
Any of those guys, really? Yeah. I'm just scrolling through. Yeah, Kenneth Grant still on the board in this one.
Yeah, I mean,
from Michigan.
When you have that many guys on the board like that, you're probably going to get your pick of the litter. So I wouldn't rule that out.
Okay, so let's say it goes.
It makes you better this year, though. I guess to a degree it will.
What, a defensive line? A defensive lineman, I think, can be.
Defensive lineman coming in and putting in 80% of the snaps immediately. I mean.
No, but they can at least get on the field right away, right? Like, they can rotate in there. They can give you – I mean, if you tell a defensive back, hey, you, control these two gaps. Don't let anybody run through them. I mean, it's not – I understand it's more intricate than that. I'm not trying to dumb down defensive line. But, like, you can get on the field, especially if you're physically athletic and talented. You should be able to get on the field. On this defensive line – that is signing what's-his-face from New England, bringing back Isaiah Loudermilk. I mean, Keanu Benton is sort of the de facto incumbent next to Cam, right? That's it. That's all. Then it's a bunch of dudes. So if you can't beat out all those dudes and maybe split some time with Keanu Benton, then you're not a first-round pick, I don't think.
Yeah, I understand. But we thought last year, how in the world – is Roman Wilson not going to get on the field when you got Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, Quez Watkins, and who's the other Jamoke they signed? Skronik and Scotty Miller were later. I forget who else they went in with.
I don't think it really matters.
Whatever, but you know what I'm saying. The plans are make sense until you get them on the field and you're like, this guy needs some work. Like Liao. Liao was a guy that needed some work from the start. I mean, I don't know how – I mean, I've heard before from important people that he really didn't get taught much at Texas A&M. So he came in here as green as possible. So that's what's taken him some time to get acclimated. So, I mean, you could put that in the same – I mean, you never know what they're coming from is what I'm saying. So, I mean, defensive line is definitely an option, but – things tend to change here.
Okay, so let me present the other mock draft option that I saw the other day. I mentioned this to you. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. I don't know if he's any good at this or not.
Who the hell is that?
I don't know, but he presents an interesting scenario where Cam Ward goes first overall to the Giants, and then another quarterback does not come off the board.
That's wrong.
Until the Pittsburgh Steelers come up at 21 and draft Shedeur Sanders of Colorado. So here's the question I want to bring up to you. Let's play this out just for the sake of playing it out, because this is what they got to do in draft rooms. They got to play out every scenario. If somehow this zany scenario played out where everybody's passing on Sanders, passing on Sanders, passing on Sanders, would the Steelers have any interest in that?
Yeah, I would think they would have it. I don't think that they would get thrown off because Deion Sanders is his dad or anything like that. Deion Sanders got his own stuff to worry about. It's called the Colorado Buffaloes. So I don't think he would interfere, especially with a guy like Mike Tomlin. I don't think he would go down that route. I think that would be a losing battle. So if they deem him good enough, I mean, the one thing you have to love by Shedeur Sanders is, I don't know his arm strength, I don't know his mental acuity, whatever that word is.
Acuity? Yeah, how smart he is.
He'll learn the offense and stuff like that. But dude's a winner. He goes places, he wins.
Yeah, I think he seems like a pretty good leader too. Like, dude seemed to rally around him. I think he's learned that a bit from his dad.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously he has some diva mentality, and we know where that comes from. But if you're able to keep that into check or within reason, I mean, once again, I hate to say that because obviously you never know the guy. You never met the guy. So I tend to like to put my own spin on it after meeting the guy. But for everything you see, like the Aaron Rodgers stuff, it's like, well, he's going to create a problem and, you know, all the off the stuff, the field around him and all that stuff. What did he do in New York? Speaking of Donnie, I think he had somebody on from the Jets and said, you know, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. He was good last year. He wasn't the problem. It was everybody around him that was the problem. I mean, I think we make decisions on people like Aaron Rodgers just from what we might hear or hearsay.
I said this to you after I watched.
Sure, there's some, but that's every professional athlete for the most part, other than like Sidney Crosby and Andrew McCutcheon, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part, we don't know them nearly as well as we think we do. Even people like you that have been in the locker room for years. Like, you know, we think we know guys to an extent, and maybe sometimes we know them a little bit, but we don't really know them, right?
There's a difference between standing in front of the media and talking to a guy and just paying attention to the surroundings when nobody's looking, what he does, how he talks, how he interacts. I mean, for the most part, I go in the locker room and just people watch. Let's see how this is. Let's see how they are, who they eat lunch with, who they talk to.
Who runs the room? Yeah.
Who's even in there? And I think you can glean a lot from just being aware of your surroundings when you're in there rather than standing in front of the, you know, podium and being Mr. Positive Russell Wilson, which he was, but everything I saw behind the scenes with Russell Wilson was same thing, you know. I mean,
what do you mean, same thing? Like, he kept that, it wasn't a facade, he kept it up.
It just was his personality.
That's fair, it seemed to be, yeah. So, I mean, you get confirmation of it, like you said, when you see the way a guy acts without the cameras on or the microphones on in front of him. That makes sense. Back to the original point, though. If there's a quarterback available at 21 who is named Sanders or Dart, do you think they'd do it? Or do you think they're going to – I know Art Rooney said back in February. Well, no, not missing on Kenny Pickett wouldn't affect – we don't really think about that at all. No, you have to think in the back of your head, we blew it last time we drafted a first-round quarterback. Would that stop them from drafting, say, like I said, a Jackson Dart at 21? I think if you go into the summer and you're planning to go into camp with Rudolph and you don't know who else, again, maybe there's a veteran backup signed, like a Jameis or something. I'm just Flacco, whatever. that's two veteran backups. That wouldn't make a ton of sense. I think signing Rudolph makes it very, very clear, or should push them in the direction of drafting a quarterback at some point. But again, I'm not crazy about this quarterback class. Yeah. I don't think it's very good at all.
I mean, I think it's impossible to say right now because we don't know if Rodgers is coming here. I think that would change their mind. And who's there at 21? Maybe if Jackson Dart's there, yeah, but what if your pick of defensive linemen are there? Maybe you value them more than, say, you have a third-round grade, fourth-round grade on Jackson Dart. Maybe there's a stud cornerback's just sitting there. I mean, Slay is, what, 33, 32, 34, 34 whatever yep. he is. I mean, you can't live there forever with him. Maybe there's a wide receiver who's might be the best. I mean, so you have to watch until it plays out. It's almost impossible to predict that right now. But say that, you know, Roger doesn't sign. Say that everybody's off the board who they are, who they think they are, especially if Rogers doesn't sign. I think, yeah, you do put that into the play.
Because we just spent the first 10 minutes or so talking about the very realistic possibility that Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign anywhere until late summer, right? Like, that's a very real possibility, I think, that he just sits back and waits and waits and waits and waits and waits and thinks and thinks and thinks, or whatever the case may be, for whatever reason, decides to wait around until right around the time training camps open in late July, early August. If that's the case, well, if all you got on your roster going into the draft are Rudolph and Skylar Thompson, then yeah, you damn well better draft a quarterback at some point just so you have another one around.
Yeah, you could. But I don't know if – see, if you draft a quarterback 20th overall, then you have to pretty much – give him that opportunity for the next 2 to 3 years, right?
Yeah. And you got Rudolph under contract. And you got Rudolph under contract.
What I'm saying is you're not coming back next year in potentially a deeper class.
Fair.
And finding somebody else as well.
That's also true. So
you're going to commit to the guy for 4 years or 3 to 4 years if you draft him in the first round. Are you willing to do that with Jackson Dart when you have a ton of picks next year that maybe you can find somebody better?
Or is this the new Steelers organization, Omar Khan in particular, who's more aggressive than ever? And if they don't like what they see out of a guy, you know, they don't have a problem drafting another quarterback next year. And now they got two young quarterbacks in Mason, and Mason's just the placeholder, and the two young quarterbacks. I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying, is that a possibility? I think increasingly we have to kind of throw the world of possibilities open when we look at how they do it, especially given the quarterback position. But
I think first round pretty much assures that you're going to commit to the guy.
It should. Yeah. Although the last first rounder, that went out the window pretty quick after 2 years.
What did he have? 2.5, really, right?
He had his opportunity.
So yeah, half his rookie year, his full second year, and half of his third year until he got hurt, right?
I guess my point is you could know that about a young quarterback if they get an opportunity to play early on. Like Pickett got an opportunity to play early on. And no, that was only it was only 2 years. He got plugged in week 4 of his rookie year. And then got hurt, what, week 12 or whatever it was of his second year. And he was done. Yeah.
Just erased that from my memory.
Everything's a blur at this point. The post-Ben Roethlisberger quarterback era has just become a giant blur for all of us and not a good one. So, I don't know. More likely, Rudolph is – who's a better placeholder? Let me put it this way. Assuming a rookie quarterback is brought in at some point in the next in this draft or next year's draft, either way, who's the better placeholder? Is it Mason Rudolph, who they've already shown they don't really care if they give him a quick hook? Or is it a guy with more sway and more pull like an Aaron Rodgers? Or maybe the happy medium is just bringing Russ back as a placeholder?
Well, the definition of placeholder, I would think, would be Mason. I think if you're bringing Russ and
none of these guys are going to be your quarterback in 2027.
Yeah, Yeah, you don't think so. I mean, unless Aaron Rodgers does sign a 2-year deal and have a pretty good season and takes him to the divisional round of the playoffs, and yeah, then maybe you reevaluate that. But no, it's a 1-year look, and maybe their theory of quarterbacks is just keep plugging with veterans every year until you have that opportunity to find the guy in the draft that you love and can't miss.
Yeah, but I guess that's my point, is the better placeholder for that is, I think, Rudolph.
Yeah.
And also, if you get an opportunity to draft one 21st who you have a first-round grade on, you can't really pass it up. There could be 3-4 defensive linemen there that you like, and you may look at it and say, shit, we need another young – we've been looking for young defensive linemen for 3-4 years now in anticipation of Cam not being able to pull this off every single year. We need to draft one. But then you go, if something weird happens like that Shedeur Sanders mock draft where he slides, or – less weird, Jackson Dart is sitting there.
I just don't think it happens if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, because they feel that they're going to win now. And you add pieces to help you win now. You don't add pieces to help you win 3 years from now. I think that's their mindset.
I think you're right, too. But that really confuses things when at some point you have to understand that you have to build forward while also building at the same time. Corey on YouTube says, Rudolph is the better placeholder because he costs next to nothing. You don't have to worry about dead money if he doesn't work out. It's what they should have done with Mitch.
You think Corey Beavers is his real name?
I hope so. And I hope you just offended him by asking that question while yawning at his question, at his statement.
Wow,
that's real nice all around.
3 hours of sleep, bro.
3 hours? What are you doing? 3 hours.
I'm trying to put together some wrestling.
Oh, writing them wrestling columns. Speaking of which, I want to ask you a question about another guy the Steelers brought in yesterday in just a second. But first, we got to say hello to our friends at Impact HVAC. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. In fact, they will be making a return trip to my home today, Kaboom. I think the furnace is finally shot. They replaced a few parts a couple weeks ago.
Tell everybody your furnace.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So
there it is.
There's the furnace. They replaced a few parts a couple weeks ago, and it was working. And then I don't know, it went kaputsky again. So they might have to replace.
Just hold off on it, and
maybe we do. I don't know. We're gonna see. It's supposed to be cold next week. I don't want to wake up and it's 60 degrees in the house in the morning.
I do that all the time.
It's a little chilly for me.
You're supposed to sleep at like 60-something, right?
We keep it at 66. 66 is good.
Oh, I wonder why.
Oh, no. That has nothing to do with Mario. But that's
very Yoey-like. And when I used to work for DK, his thermostat was always set on 66.
No, it wasn't.
Weird.
I don't have it at 66 because of Mario, but that's
exactly.
I'm gonna tell people that now.
Exactly.
And during the summer, the AC don't kick on until it's 87 in here. Damn it! But if you're having problems, whether it's AC or furnace, whatever's keeping you from getting a good night's sleep, like Kaboom did not get last night, Impact HVAC PGH, they'll be out. They'll take care of you. Emergency calls, tune-ups, checkups, whatever it may be. They're there to help you out. Thanks to them for sponsoring Kaboom and Mac as well. So you mentioned staying up writing a wrestling column, even though wrestling was on early yesterday. It was on at 3 o'clock because they're over in Europe, over in Brussels.
Yeah, I had to look up what country Brussels was in. Do you know what it is? Oh, yeah, I know now. I didn't know then.
No, I knew. I'm actually okay with geography. Like I used to be, I swear to God, in like sixth or seventh grade, middle school somewhere, we had a geography test and I was able to name every country. Like I had them all memorized.
Yeah, but you don't know any state capitals.
No, state capitals is your department. See, I have more of an international flair and you're more, domestic policy.
What's the capital of Guatemala?
Guatemala.
Okay, Honduras.
Honduras. No idea.
It's easy.
Oh, it's easy. Everybody knows capital Guatemala. What is it then?
You don't know what it is.
No, I don't know what the capital of Honduras and Guatemala are. What are they?
Well, I don't know what Guatemala is.
Okay, you're looking it up. I can tell you're looking.
I know it's Tegucigalpa.
That's not. It can't even be the right way you say it. That's not even close.
Yes, it is. Honduras. I was in Honduras. Well, I went through Honduras once.
The capital of Guatemala is Guatemala City, you jackass. Honduras.
I said Honduras.
You said Guatemala at first.
Yeah, then I switched it to Honduras.
And I'll switch it up on you.
Where's Lake Titicaca at? Remember that?
Your mom's ass.
You remember in elementary school, every time they said Lake Titicaca?
Yeah, because it's funny. It's Titicaca. Tegucigalpa. Tegucigalpa. I didn't know that was the capital of Honduras. I don't know country capitals. Anyway, WWE is over in Europe. First of all, those crowds are absolutely insane. I love watching when they're over in Europe. They don't shut the hell up. They chant for everything.
My favorite of the night was Cody Rhodes. Yeah. Cody Rhodes.
I mean, they're even chanting for guys they shouldn't be chanting for, like Drew McIntyre. McIntyre's like, king heel right now. Bad dude coming out. Attacking Damian Priest in the middle of a match. They're chanting for Drew McIntyre. They chant for everything. I mean, and they knew exactly what to do.
It was first time ever in Belgium. So,
the energy, here's how I knew the energy was off. Well, first of all, I hadn't finished watching SmackDown from Friday. Friday, they were in what? Barcelona.
Barcelona.
So I watched the end of that last night, and then I watched the very beginning of Raw, the whole Cody Cena part. And like that crowd, they didn't even have to play. You know how guys will have promos in the middle of the ring and then they'll walk to the back while their music's playing or whatever. Like you thought, oh, maybe they'll play Cody's music since he dropped the mic on Cena or whatever. No, they didn't even have to play music. Just as both guys walk out, the crowd is just chanting, going ape shit. Berserk, bananas. They need to go to Europe more often.
Yeah, maybe they should start a whole division. Wait, that's NFL.
James Harrison can get his start there with the Rhine Fire.
Wasn't Jim Tomasula a coach over there?
Jim Tomasula was a coach over there for a while. I think maybe with the Frankfurt Galaxy. I can't remember now.
Biggest Still Valley meathead of all time. And I love him.
I think Bill Chirpak would take issue with that, but yeah.
Well, he's not a meathead.
I mean, meathead in an endearing way.
Oh, I remember going to the owners meeting when he was the coach of head coach of the 49ers, and every other reference was Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh has an entrance. I went to Pizza King in Munn Hall. I'm like, every time.
I love it.
To him. Just every other word was something about Pittsburgh.
It's the best. He was the head coach of the Rhine Fire. Look at that. We're getting our NFL Europe references correct today.
Cody
Rhodes. So what'd you make of the whole Cena thing? I like the way he's just diving headfirst into like mocking little kids in the front row. And
you made that kid like cry.
That kid's never going to wear another John Cena shirt ever again.
Yeah, first I watched it. I'm like, yeah, there's not much here. But then I watched it back and just really soaked it in. And I think I liked it. I think it might have been one of his best, if not his best, promos of all time. It was 20 minutes or 15 minutes of him straight talking. And I thought he was going to go after Cody Rhodes. I thought he was going to say something about The Rock, maybe the company, how he wanted whatever. But no, he took shots at the fans. And it's not him changing. It's them. It's their fault. That's why he's wearing his gimmick. That's why he's coming out to his music. I would like to know where The Rock fits in all of this. Sure, but there's four more Rocks before that. So I think it was very, very well done, and I think what it eventually does is set up Cody Rhodes to be a – well, he might lose at WrestleMania, Cody.
Yeah, I could see that.
Drag his hand a little bit, but I think, I mean, if there's a passing of the baton even there or the torch, this could be it, because Cena has and been very similar to what Cody is, you know, during his heyday.
Yeah, he's been the baby face. I know he said, I'm not a baby face. He's been the baby face for 20 years. He's doing the Make-A-Wish. He's doing everything.
Well, that's him. So I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It's one of his better performances. I mean, it can't be easy because you have 20 straight years of him going about it one way. And let's not kid ourselves. If you go back and look at some of the promos he's done over his career, there's some heel feel to it. The Rock writing on the wrist, the Roman Reigns, when he told him, hey, when he forgot his lines, I'll wait. Come on.
Oh, that's right. When The Rock wrote things on his hand.
Oh, Rock apparently was really pissed about that. Yeah. I mean, so there was a lot of different heel type promos he's done in the past, or at least moments. This was just full out craziness. So I'm curious to see how it advances from now on. I think we'll see Rock or Cena pretty much every week now, leading up here.
Really? You think we get them that often?
I think you need to, because I think you do need to. There's still questions left unanswered, so that's to come from somewhere. You have to know why The Rock's in it, why The Rock. I mean, you have to understand. I mean, I just mentioned one of his most hillish promos of all time was when he called out The Rock, and now they're best buddies. You know, using the other. I mean,
well, I think that's part of the storyline, though, is that he's gone Hollywood just like The Rock did. And that now he recognizes exactly why The Rock did it the way he did, because he had to get away from these terrible people, right? The audience. He had to go make a name for himself somewhere else because they wouldn't let him be himself and be a human being and all this crap. That's the way I see that going forward. Like, I don't think you need to bring The Rock back too often. I think even part of the storyline is that they don't come back that often. If you go back, and we've talked about Chris Van Fleet before, who does those interviews that you see all over social media with all the wrestlers and does a phenomenal job of them. But the one he did with Cena, I don't know if it was last year sometime, Cena talks about how they nearly turned him heel towards the end of his active run, and it was going to be all about doing things the exact opposite, right? He'd cut corners, he'd take shortcuts, he'd cheat. He wouldn't show up as often, right? He wouldn't be on as many shows. And I think we're going to see that. I think he's going to show up once every couple of weeks, tell everybody how much he hates him. Cody will, work the crowd and tell everybody why Cena's a punk. And we'll gradually lead up to WrestleMania. I just don't know, to be honest, like the legitimate practicalities of a guy shooting a movie in Europe, which I think Cena is still doing, and being on the show every week when they come back to the States. Like, I don't see how that works until after WrestleMania, maybe. Like, maybe it's a summertime run with him with the belt and everybody going ape that he's got the belt and now he's the champ, and Cody working his way back to win it back from him at, like, SummerSlam or something.
I mean, they do have the next two shows over there, next two Raws. So
right.
You would think he would be a part of that. I think one, I don't even know where it's at. One's in France, one's
Italy is Italy. The next one, I think. Bologna, Italy.
Then I think it's France. Maybe it's London. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's London. Maybe it's Paris. I'm not quite sure. But I like the fact that any other heel turn, or the majority of them, change your music. You come out in all black. Maybe you're the Thugonomics again.
Yeah.
No, he's the same guy. Maybe it has to do with selling merch now.
He's sold enough merch over the years. I think he'll be good.
He'd never sell enough merch. I saw an interview one time with Stone Cold and the 316 jersey, and Vince presented him with his royalty check.
Yeah.
He never saw anything like that before in his life.
Oh, the royalty checks. That's how they get paid. That's why you want to be
huge. That's another reason. I mean, you're giving up money if you're becoming a heel, because not too many people buy heel merchandise compared to Cody. Well, yeah, that was decent show, I guess.
How's the kiddo taking the little kaboom, taking the Cena heel turn? Is he handling it all right?
He was thinking he was going to be the thug. The first thing, he wasn't home yesterday, so he messaged me. Did he change his music? Oh, because he thought he was going to come out as the Thugonomics. I don't know. I don't think he wants to commit yet because he doesn't like to be wrong. So he don't want to commit to Cena, then Cena loses. He don't want to commit to Cody, then Cody loses.
So he's not.
He wasn't Jay.
So he just wants to be a front runner, basically, right?
All the time.
Yeah, I get that with Mike.
He's an Oos. He was a big Oos guy until Jay beat Cena. Then he threw.
So he's out on that now too.
He threw his Jey Uso doll to the ground and started chomping, just sort of booting it.
Jeez,
beat him. So he wasn't happy with that one.
I think he'll come back around on Oos. Is this real? Hold on, Dylan mentioned this in the comments on YouTube. Are we not going to talk about MLB The Show Simulator putting the Pirates as a wild card team with 84 wins? Is that true?
That considered, I mean,
is that like I've been trying to Google it and I don't see it anywhere.
Is that simulator put together by Jason Mackey?
No, it was put together by Neil Huntington, and they ran 10,000 simulations, and one of them had them ending up with 84 wins.
You know what? If they have 84 wins, we can do a contest. Somebody could pick out something I need to do. Maybe if I could walk to Philadelphia and back, right?
Is that a promise? Are you making that a promise?
There is no chance. No chance in hell they win 84 games.
How about this? If they win 84 games, we don't know when the Steelers play the Browns yet. If they win 84 games, you have to walk to the Browns game in Cleveland.
My goodness, I can't even walk up the steps.
I mean, you'd get started on Monday. You'd make it there.
We're gonna have to do something more
realistic.
Like eat the hottest wings possible or something like that. No, that's not right up my.
It's not supposed to be something you'd enjoy. Mark,
I don't enjoy eating those hot wings.
No?
Oh, there ain't no way.
I still haven't found any kind of results for this supposed piece of news. I've searched Google and Twitter, and I don't see anything.
Well, if it's not on Google or Twitter, it must be fake.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
How in the world do you possibly think that the Buccos can win 84 games?
Oh, it's on Yahoo. Hold on. I.
Of course, it's on Yahoo.
I mean, if Skeens starts 42 times, but that's not realistic.
Okay. What about the other 50 games?
I mean, you only got to win like a third of them then, because Skeens will win you. Hold on, Yahoo Sports simulated the 2025 MLB season using MLB The Show. And the Pirate, it says the Pirates finished 25th. Hold on. What is, I'm not sure if I'm buying this here, Dylan. I appreciate your interaction on the YouTube comments, but I don't know if I believe this too much. Hold on.
He's calling me out, Dylan.
I am.
You got to come with proof.
Oh, Devin Williams traded to the Pirates at one point in the simulation.
Wow, that should do it.
I mean, best closer in the game right now. Oh, no, I just found it. Sorry, Dylan. I just found it. It is real. In the MLB The Show simulator, they have the Pirates as the second wild card with 84 wins. That is wild. That simulator has to be on some sort of hallucinogens. That would be great if it happened. Seriously. It'd be awesome. I don't want to paint it as if I'm not a fan of the Pirates. I want to see the Pirates do well. I want to see good baseball, but I'm just not hopeful that, other than some of the pitching, we're going to get a lot of that.
What has showed you over the past 40 years that they're going to play good baseball?
I mean, they shocked the hell out of us in 2013, right? So there's that. We got that going for us. Look, you got the best pitcher in the National League, maybe the best pitcher in baseball.
And
right?
You did nothing to improve your team in the offseason.
And you've got a good bunch of young starters coming up, some already at the major league level. So you have pitching. Now you just have to score more than 2.5 runs a night. I'm not telling you that gets you anywhere better than 75 wins.
I just don't want to reinforce it to Bob Nutting that you can just go out there and not improve your team and still be successful.
So what's hilarious to me is I saw a story, and now I feel bad because I can't remember where I saw it yesterday. But if you look at the Pirates over the last, say, 10 to 15 years, they're revenue via attendance and concessions, which is where they get a majority of their revenue, is in direct correlation to what their payroll was. So in other words, if they went out and spent, you know, there were a couple of years where they spent like $90 million on payroll, which is a pittance in current terms compared to what some teams are spending, but was like their max, right? When they went out and spent like $90, $92 million on payroll, the fans backed them and came to the tune of just enough to cover that payroll, right? The revenue via ticket sales and concessions covered the revenue. In years where the payroll went down significantly into the $60 and $70 million range, fans stayed away, and they didn't make as much via concessions and ticket revenue. So they still made enough to cover the salaries, but the problem is you have another revenue stream in TV and revenue sharing because of the size of your market compared to the big teams. And that money doesn't get spent. If they would take just 1 year or two and spend above what they think they might make in attendant in gate revenue, right? Like just spend 115, 120 1 year. People would back them because people would see the investment and say, I want to back this team because they've made the investment. I'm going to make the financial.
It's advantage. The other way around with this ownership, though. He wants to see winning first before he invests into it. It's sort of like opening a pizza shop and have shitty pizza and say, if you buy this shitty pizza, you buy enough of it, we're going to finally start
making we'll make good pizza. Yeah. No.
With the good ingredients.
Spend the money.
That's how it works.
No, spend the money to make the good pizza first, and then people will show up to support you. And yes, all the money you need to continue making good pizza.
He's doing it backwards, but he does not care. I mean, hell of an analogy. Because I'm a pretty good analogist.
You are. What are you going to do if they win 84 games? Come on. We need to come up with something today, right here on March 18th, before the season starts.
Why don't we put it to a
vote? Put it out on social media?
A Twitter poll.
Okay. What are the options? Or do we just keep give people an open form? Because then you'll get ridiculous responses. Yeah. You'll have people tell you, you know, stupid stuff. Come on, we need options.
I'll shave my head.
Okay, shave his head. What's another option? Come on, you said something about eating hot wings.
Like the hottest wing possible. I don't know. Maybe we should leave the legit ones up to the fans. I don't know if it's going to be anything of physical activities because that would be impossible.
Dylan suggests a 24-hour fast. 24 hours, no food.
That's a piece of cake there.
Yeah.
I've done that before. It's called colonoscopy.
Yeah, that's always fun. Real quick.
I can do the old one chip challenge.
Oh, with the hottest hot sauce in the world. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask Juan Thornhill. Steelers signed him yesterday. Safety. What are they going to do with this cat?
KZ.
Okay.
So yeah, KZ 2.0. Is he a second round pick?
He's a little better than KZ, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a better version of KZ.
Okay.
So that's where I put him at right there. I mean, once again, they're filling in the pieces around them. And you could say it's on the cheap, but they got to fill out the roster and the depth somehow.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to see a big dining. Like I said, I may obviously you might see the quarterback being signed, but other than that, I don't know. I don't think they're going down that route. No, first of all, I don't think there's anybody out there. So I think you'll see maybe a couple more before OTAs of these mid-level piece fillers. So you pretty much...
I'll take a better KZ. Absolutely. I'll take that.
So pretty much this is what it is. I mean, this is your team, depending on what happens in the quarterback situation and the draft.
What in the world? What was that noise?
My car needs inspected, right?
Your phone and your computer make more noises that we don't know about.
My car needs inspected. My owner's card is expired, and I needed the not the VIN number. I needed the title number.
Yeah,
and I don't have the title number because I don't have the car because it was getting inspected. So I have to like update it, but I have to whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
You're a disaster. Go get your life together. Take a nap. Real quick, I told you we would give it away on the show, so we're gonna give it away on the show. He was the first.
I drove by yesterday and noticed it.
The truck.
Pretty sweet.
It's really sweet. So getting a free raffle ticket, $45 value.
Yeah, man, I wish I would have had my
drum roll. Yeah, drum it roll. Sucked last time. It didn't work. Don't worry about it.
Oh, everybody loved that.
2025 Ford F-150 STX is being raffled off by the Whitehall Fire Company. You can go to whitehallfire301.com, buy a ticket for $45. Or if you are Nick Netback or Netbatch, I don't know how you say it, Nick.
Isn't that what's his name?
It's Nick Netbatch.
Dolph Ziggler. Is that his name? Hey, Dolph.
Does not look like Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler's real name is Nick Nemeth.
Oh, Jesus. You are the king of digression. You can't finish a thought you need to get sleep. You're all over the freaking place.
I only need about half hour and I'm good.
No, you need to cash out for the rest of the day until the kids get home from school, okay? I'm giving you permission.
I don't even know what time it is.
It's 11 a.m. and I'm trying to wrap up the show and give Nick his raffle ticket. Nick
Dolph Ziggler, you won.
Jesus Christ. Nick, I will DM you on the X and get you the contact info and what we need to do to get you your $45 raffle ticket. You've got a free ticket coming your way from Dan Heck, the Dan Heck team, and heckteamhomes.com. You are now officially in the raffle for that 2025 Ford F-150 STX. Being raffled off by Whitehall Fire Company. Kaboom, go take a nap, okay?
I think, you know, one last thing is don't forget, we're like 200 away from giving away the own Bettis.
Real close to giving away that Bettis jersey. You got to repost the giveaway tweets that Mark and I each put out there. Tag three friends. Make sure all fourians is subscribed to Kaboli and Mac on YouTube. Because when we get to 1,000 subscribers, somebody's going to win. We're at 792 right now. So we're inching up on it very quickly.
Bussy photo. I forget who I told. I might have told the wife. She goes, wow, that's a pretty good giveaway.
It really is.
Damn, Skippy.
First and Goal Collectibles coming through. Go visit them at South Hills Village for other stuff, just like the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey. Mark's going to go take a nap. I'm going to go to work. You guys have a beautiful Tuesday. No show tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it again on Thursday. We'll see if anything happens, all right? This has been Kaboli and Mac. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team.